At the time when the Takers blundered into the New World and began kicking everything to pieces, the Leavers here were searching for an answer to this question. Is there a way to achieve settlement that is in accord with the law that we've been following from the beginning of time? I don't mean, of course, that they had consciously formulated this question. They were no more consciously aware of this law than the early aeronauts were consciously aware of the laws of aerodynamics. But they were struggling with it all the same, building and abandoning one civilizational contraption after another, trying to find one that would fly. Done this way, it's slow work. Proceeding simply by trial and error, it might have taken them another 10,000 years, or another 50,000. They apparently had the wisdom to know there was no hurry. They didn't have to get into the air. It made no sense to them to commit themselves to a civilizational craft that was clearly headed for disaster the way the Takers had done. Ishmael stopped there, and when he didn't go on, I said, "What now?" His cheeks crinkled in a smile. "Now you leave and come back when you're prepared to tell me what law or set of laws has been at work in the community of life from the beginning. You have the same three guides as in the case of the A's, the B's, and the C's. The law you're looking for has been obeyed invariably in the living community for 3 billion years. He nodded to the world outside. And this is how things came to be this way. If this law had not been obeyed from the beginning, and in each generation thereafter, the seas would be lifeless deserts, and the land would still be dust blowing in the wind. All the countless forms of life that you see here came into being following this law, and following this law, man too came into being. And only once in all the history of this planet has any species tried to live in defiance of this law. And it wasn't an entire species, it was only one people, those I've named Takers. 10,000 years ago, this one people said no more, man was not meant to be bound by this law. And they began to live in a way that flouts the law at every point. Every single thing that is prohibited under the law, they incorporated into their civilization as a fundamental policy. And now, after 500 generations, they are about to pay the penalty that any other species would pay for living contrary to this law." Ishmael turned over a hand. "That should be guide enough for you." The search for the law took me 4 days. I spent 1 day telling myself I couldn't do it, 2 doing it, and 1 making sure I'd done it. On the 5th day, I went back. "I think I see why you insisted I do it myself," I told Ishmael. "If you'd done the work for me and pointed out the things the Takers do that are never done in the natural community, I would have said, well, sure, so what? Big deal." Ishmael grunted and told me to carry on. "Okay, as I make it out, there are 4 things the Takers do that are never done in the rest of the community, and these are all fundamental to their civilizational system. First, they exterminate their competitors, which is something that never happens in the wild. In the wild, animals will defend their territories and their kills, and they will invade their competitors' territories and preempt their kills. Some even include competitors among their prey. But they never hunt them down just to make them dead, the way ranchers and farmers do with coyotes and foxes and crows. What they hunt, they eat. Go on. Next, the Takers systematically destroy their competitors' food to make room for their own. Nothing like this occurs in the natural community. The rule there is, take what you need and leave the rest alone. Ishmael nodded. Next, the Takers deny their competitors access to food. In the wild, the rule is, you may deny your competitors access to what you're eating, but you may not deny them access to food in general. In other words, you can say, this gazelle is mine, but you can't say all gazelles are mine. Our policy is every square foot of this planet belongs to us. So if we put it all under cultivation, then all our competitors are just plain out of luck and will have to become extinct. Good. And you say there's a 4th thing the Takers do that is never done in the wild, as you call it. Yes, in the wild, the lion kills a gazelle and eats it. It doesn't kill a second to save for tomorrow. The deer eats the grass that's there. It doesn't cut the grass down and save it for the winter. But these are things the Takers do. You seem less certain about this one. Yes, I am less certain. There are species that store food, like bees, but most don't. In this case, you've missed the obvious. Every living creature stores food, most simply store it in their bodies, the way lions and deer and people do. For others, this would be inadequate to their adaptations, and they must store food externally as well. I see. There's no prohibition against food storage as such. There couldn't be, because that's what makes the whole system work. The green plants store food for the plant eaters, the plant eaters store food for the predators, and so on. Oh, true, I hadn't thought of it that way. Is there anything else the takers do that is never done in the rest of the community of life? Not that I can see, not that it seems relevant to what makes that community work. This law, Ishmael said, defines the limit of competition in the community of life. You may compete to the full extent of your capabilities, but you may not hunt down your competitors, or destroy their food, or deny them access to food. In other words, you may compete, but you may not wage war. Yes, as you said, it's the peacekeeping law. And what's the effect of the law? What does it promote? Well, it promotes order. Yes, but I'm after something else now. What would have happened if this law had been repealed 10 million years ago? What would the community be like? I'd have to say that there would only be one form of life at each level of competition, the strongest. So the law promotes what? Well, it promotes diversity. Of course. And what's the good of diversity? What's wrong with a global community that consists of nothing but grass, gazelles, and lions, or a global community that consists of nothing but rice and humans? I'd have to think that a community like that would be ecologically fragile, highly vulnerable. Any change at all in existing conditions and the whole thing would collapse. Ishmael nodded. Diversity is a survival factor for the community itself. A community of 100 million species can survive almost anything short of total global catastrophe, while a community of 100 species or 1,000 species has almost no survival value at all. True, I said, and diversity is exactly what's under attack here. Every day, dozens of species